Back in on Wildcat Insider, I'm John Kurtz, joined by Wyatt Thompson and Mitch Fortner. 537-1350, 866-776-1350 to join us. You can tweet questions or comments as well to the game KMAN. Vote in the poll question. Do you think K-State is headed to the NCAA tournament after a 2-3 start here to Big 12 play? We can tackle Big 12 football, Big 12 basketball, whatever is on your mind. I did want to venture into football a little bit here. I'll pass along this. We found out within the last few days, the spring game, we now have a date for that. It will be April 22nd. 1:10 for the kickoff, as Bill Snyder would like to have it. But that's at least a little bit of a date to set for football. I know everyone's fired up for 2017 after the way 2016 ended, but you can at least put that in your calendar. A lot of early top 25 love for this team. You saw a slew of them come out last week after the national title game was done on Monday. I saw basically anywhere from 17 to 22 from ESPN, Fox, CBS. I mean, all the major players here really had K-State in the top 25 heading into next season. So a lot of times want to play the disrespect card. At least right now it appears there's a decent amount of respect for this team.
And the league, to be honest about it. And it's really interesting going into the bowl season. I think most people thought that the Big 12 was a little bit down. They had a good bowl season. And now with what most people have coming back for next year, at least at the upper level of the league, I think most people nationally perceive it to be quite strong, whether it's Kansas State or Oklahoma State or Oklahoma. A lot of people like all of those teams and the way they closed, and you can understand that. I'm really excited for it, like we always are. But you can certainly understand the excitement after the bowl win. It's, you know what, there's nothing quite like winning football games and to close a season like that and on top of that have, what, 14 starters back, you bet you should be excited. And I think we all are for 2017.
Now, we'll admit the Elijah Lee news tempers things just a bit. Sure. I mean, that's not something you wanted to see. Lee is a guy who could have been in contention for Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year next year. I mean, he was honorable mention for that already this year. Got a vote from somebody, but the question I would have, and I think there's a good chance that the answer to this question is yes, but that is, do the improvements that are there on offense that we seem to think are going to be there with just basically the entire unit back, a new quarterback there for a second straight year, does that offset what you're losing on defense? Because you're losing certainly quality players at every single level of that defense.
Well, that's the thing, and I understand the thought. I would like to think, to be honest with you, that what they do have back offensively, hopefully to at least some degree, offsets the losses on the defensive side. But let's be truthful and honest about it. You're losing Jordan Willis, who was the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. You knew going into the offseason that Shermichael Moore would have to be replaced. You put Elijah Lee on top of that, and for the most part, what, 90% of the time you're playing a 4-2-5, so you're replacing both starting linebackers. That's difficult. And then you're replacing a couple of those guys in the secondary in Dante Barnett and Donnie Starks, and those guys started a lot of football games at Kansas State. So there are questions on the defensive side. And yet, with what they return offensively, with some new faces coming in, I think the expectations for the offense will be very high, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
And probably should be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Byron Pringle started to come on at the end of the year there. I mean, the numbers really speak for themselves. What he did the last three or four games of the year, just completely stepped his game up to a new level, looked great in the Texas Bowl. Jesse Ertz, the numbers on second-year quarterbacks under Bill Snyder, I mean, almost every single one that's a second-year starter under Snyder has won at 9 or 10 games. I mean, that's just the facts when you go back and look at it. Alex Barnes looked like towards the end of the year before his injury issues that he was a guy that was developing into a star. You still have Silman and Warbach potentially behind him. I mean, Dominic Heath was your leading receiver most of the year. Mm-hmm. Just go down the line. 4 or 5 offensive linemen are back. So many of those guys are pretty young. I think because of that, yeah, the expectation has to be that this could be one of the better offenses that Bill Snyder has had since returning here.
Yeah, and I think there are a couple of guys that aren't big names now that have a chance to be impactful into this offense when we get to next fall. I'm anxious to see some of that in the spring. There's a young man who redshirted this year in the program, Strickland, a wide receiver who mm-hmm. the coaches are really, really excited about. He's a guy with some size and some athleticism. You put him with those other guys that are back, certainly gives you another weapon. And a weapon with athleticism and size is always good.
Now he's a former four-star recruit, transferred from Cal, yeah.
Right. And then, you know, we went into last year talking about the difficulties of replacing so many quality starters, not just starters, but quality starters. And now here we are going into the offseason following that and are so excited about the youthfulness of the offensive line and yet how they played in 2016. That is exciting, too. Let's knock on wood here. Everybody stays healthy and returns and all of that because, as Coach Snyder says, every year is going to be different. It's just different makeup and all of that. But I think we're all pumped up about what this team could potentially be, especially on the offensive side, with some holes on the defense. And there will be some scrutiny there, no doubt.
And we'll see what happens in the last part of recruiting here. I mean, we're going to have National Signing Day coming up within the month.
Mm-hmm.
I know they've got a junior college defensive end lined up that will come in, and that could help. You've obviously got some depth there at the end, too, to help absorb the loss of Jordan Willis. But maybe now you go try and get a junior college linebacker in, some secondary help. Also, K-State did just lose a commit from a junior college guy in the secondary that could have been Dante Barnett's replacement. But tons of time. We'll see what all sorts out between now and then. You could see, you know, I know talking point here lately has been JUCO guys haven't worked out real well in year one, but you could see them plug somebody in there potentially. DJ Reed, I mean, for instance, it worked for him last year, and what a surprise that was.
Well, and exactly. And a great surprise as far as that goes. I think sometimes when things like that are said, it's in general terms, like, you know, several cases. But there's always that one or two that's hugely impactful. I think if you could go get a safety that had the same type of impact that DJ Reed has, as an example, or a linebacker, or a defensive end, absolutely you take it.
No doubt about that.
Yeah.
537-1350, 866-776-1350 to join us here on Wildcat Insider. We can take questions about football or basketball, but it looks like Aaron from here in Manhattan has a K-State hoops question. What's on your mind, Aaron?
K-State basketball, another frustrating loss.
Yeah.
It's hard to defend the timeout from my perspective. After taking the lead, the building is jumping. As I recall, the next two possessions after that, Wes clanks a dunk and then turns it over. I don't know. I'm losing optimism, guys. I don't see improvement on offense this year from last year. Just concerned about the regression of the roster. You could argue we had more depth last year than this year. And next year, our returning front line, other than Wade, Snead, if you want to count him, we have no front line experience coming back whatsoever. Very concerned about our trajectory, losing optimism. I'm not a Bruce hater. I'm a hater of K-State losing basketball games. I go back to when Lonnie Kruger played, and
yeah.
I hate losing basketball games or watching us lose. That's where I'm at. Hope it changes. Hope I'm proved wrong.
Well, Aaron, I appreciate the phone call, and I think a lot of people are in the same boat as you. I think you are representative of where a lot of people would be at right now.
Well, he basically would have described me. He probably is somewhat similar to age with me if he's going back to Lon Kruger. I remember a lot of great Kansas State basketball in those days. And I get the frustration too. I would like to be able to sit here and say, keep the faith. And yet he makes some points. I'll say keep the faith anyway because I think that's the thing to do. But it will be. Let's be honest. It will be hard to replace DJ Johnson next year. He's become a productive guy over his time, and I've said it for a long, long time. There are better players out there, but few give you the type of energy and the passion that he does. somebody is going to have to step up and take that. Now, I will say, and keep in mind now, there are some young kids out there that are headed our way that hopefully will bring some help. 6'8", 6'9", 235-pound type guys. They won't have the same experience, and there will be a growing curve there. So there is that. But I don't necessarily think that the cupboard will be totally barren. You look at, again, I'm one of those that I have high hopes, very high hopes yet for Dean Wade, and I remind myself daily that this guy is 17 games into a sophomore season. And that his best basketball is ahead of him. I think it's obvious that that's also hopefully the case for Isaiah Maurice. I'm hopeful that we get something out of James Love next year because was hoping that this year. It has to be a little luck involved too. There are a lot of things that go into it, I guess, is the thing. And I understand the frustration. And I don't like the losing the games either. It's tough. But at the end of the day, you know, I guess I'll close by saying this. There are question marks there, but there are for others. There are for most. There are only a few schools that usually don't have a question mark or two. And that's just the nature of the game now.
I would say, yeah, I think I understand your frustration about this year, obviously. I mean, the close losses, they're wearing on everybody, I think, at this point in time. The best point I thought he made was next year. I mean, next year it's going to be daunting. I've said for a while now, it's pretty clear. DJ Johnson, you could argue whether or not he's the best player on this team right now. I think he's the most valuable just because of the lack of depth inside. So you are losing basically your most valuable player next year in DJ Johnson, and that will be difficult. But, you know, if the trajectory with the core group of Wade, Snead, Brown, Stokes – finishes well in the Big 12 this year, goes to the NCAA tournament. I mean, I think you still have a lot to build around there. And who knows what Isaiah Maurice does the rest of the year. You know, we saw some positives from him against Baylor, and he's still totally just getting his feet wet. So there are options that are going to be there. No, they will not be DJ Johnson, but much like we just talked about in football, can you offset the losses on defense with a better offense? Can you offset some of those losses in the front court with a better backcourt? And all those guys becoming more experienced next year. I think that would be what you would have to ask yourself. But a lot of basketball to be played between now and then.
Yeah. There's so many things that come to mind when I hear you say things like that. And I go back to the 8-0 run and that we talked about earlier after Coach Weber's timeout. Those three plays were made by a fifth-year senior and a fourth-year junior for Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at Kansas State's team, I'm just being honest, whether you appreciate this or whether you don't or agree with it or you don't, I think it's pretty much reality. K-State has DJ Johnson and Wesley Iwundu, and everybody else is still pretty young. A lot of people don't like to hear that, and I understand that. No excuses, but that is factual. That's sometimes there's not a lot of separation between winning and losing, and that was part of that game Saturday, in my opinion.
We'll talk some more basketball on the other side here, get into the matchup with Oklahoma State on Wednesday. It's going to be just a giant game for both of these two teams. How tough are the Cowboys going to be to bring down? We will get to that next on Wildcat Insider, plus look at some of your Twitter responses, JL Kurtz or the game KMAN, if you want to get in questions and comments. You're listening to Wildcat Insider.